We're going to recommence our series in the last days of Christ, and we invite you to open your Bibles in the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 23. The last time that we were in this series was just before the summer, or indeed it was the middle of July. I'm just looking at the date here at the top of the page. And on that date we looked at the first trial when the Lord was before Pilate. And the question, what shall I then do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And so we come this morning to another of the trials, whenever the Lord will stand before Herod. Luke 23 in verse 1, the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We find this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Amen. And may the Lord once again bless the reading of his precious word. You know, there are many times in our lives that we look for and we long for silence. Maybe silence from children. And we look forward to that time whenever the children will go to bed and we can just sit down and just relax. I remember my mom telling me that one of her favourite times in the day was that first cup of tea after we went to bed. That she just had the tea and she just sat down and she just went, calm again. I don't understand why. But mom always said that was a lovely time, and it may be that kind of silence that you look for. Or maybe it's whenever you go outside and your neighbour catches you, just as you're hoping to get to the car, and you know that if the neighbour catches you, you're going to be stuck there for quite a while before you finally get away from them again. And you long for them just to stop talking long enough for you to say, "Look, I've got to go," just to get away. Maybe it's for a child, and the best silence that they have is when the teacher in the classroom stops talking and stops teaching them so that the bell rings and then they can go on, or else the teacher just gives them work where they can put their head down and act as if they're working and just leave it at that. So many different silences we would look for. So many different silences we'd long for. But yet there's one silence which there is no enjoyment in. There's one silence that is not to be enjoyed, but rather to be feared. One whose voice needs to be heard. One above all that needs to be listened to and to be heeded. It is the voice of the Lord God. Luke 23, we're in the midst of the trials which the Lord Jesus Christ endured. After his arrest on the Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was taken, as we have looked at and studied, he was taken before the different Jewish leaders. He was taken to the house of Annas and the Caiaphas. He was taken before the Sanhedrin. Then early in the Friday morning, they had taken him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, to deal with. Pilate had sought to get rid of Christ. He had sought for the men, the Jews, just to take them away and to deal with them themselves. Then, as we're going to look at this morning, he wanted to send him to Herod for Herod to deal with them. And Christ was there before Pilate. And Pilate, as we looked at the last time, the question was asked, what shall I then do with Jesus, whose name is Christ? Each trial was conducted by a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Unholy judges judging a holy God. Men who did not appreciate or understand the privilege which was theirs to be in the actual physical presence of Almighty God. But out of all of the trials which the Lord endured over that night and into the next morning, out of all of the trials, Annas, Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, Herod, and back to Pilate, there is only one trial, only one, where the Lord never speaks. It's this one. It's with Herod. Yes, at times he only says a few words, but every other trial he opens his mouth, apart from with Herod. Why is that? Well, two things I want to leave with you this morning. I want you to see, firstly, the reasons for the silence. The reasons for the silence. This is not the first time that we hear of Herod in the Scriptures. I believe that if we take a quick glance down through the Gospels, we'll see, and it explains to us why the Son of God, when he comes before Herod, why he is standing silent. Mark in the chapter 6. We're introduced to Herod. And there in the verse 17, or the verse 16, it says, when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded, he is risen from the dead. Herod in Mark 6 and verse 17, he had committed adultery by marrying his sister-in-law. Verse 17, it says, Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Mark 6 and verse 20 tells us that Herod heard the gospel many times of John. In that verse it says, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. Then Mark 6, verses 21 to 28, tells us how that Herod had killed God's messenger for the sake of self-pride and for the sake of his love for Herodias. That time, whenever it was the birthday celebration, and Herodias' daughter had come in and danced before Herod. And Herod had promised, he had said, look, I am so happy, I am so pleased with you. I ask what you want and I'll give you half of my kingdom, even as much as that. And Herodias' daughter, she said, no, give me John the Baptist's head. And for the sake of those around him, for the sake of Herodias, Herod had commanded and John the Baptist was beheaded. His head was placed in the platter and given. For 3 years, Christ had preached. For 3 years, Christ had performed miracles in Galilee, the home place of Herod, as we read this morning. And yet Herod had never once came to see him. Never once came to hear him. Herod had the witness of John the Baptist. As John had been arrested and been brought in before Herod, and Herod had heard him gladly, time and again the witness was there. John the Baptist was preaching to him the doctrine of repentance of sins. Herod also had the witness of the other people over those 3 years. As we read this morning, he received reports of what Christ was saying, what Christ was doing. Herod also had the witness of his personal steward, man by the name of Chusa. Chusa is introduced to us in Luke 8 and verse 3. Tells us there in Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward. Joanna was one of the ladies that followed the Lord, ministered to him, ministered to his needs. Women such as Mary Magdalene and Susanna and Joanna, these were women that gave their lives to the Lord and said, Lord, we will help thee. We will do what we can. Whatever you need us to do, we will come and do it for you. Every day in Herod's palace, Chusa was there. And I believe that as Chuza was serving Herod, Chuza would have been telling the other people, and indeed telling Herod, those things that he had heard from his wife Joanna. Those things of how the Lord was moving, how the Lord was working, how souls were being saved, how that the Lord was doing great and wonderful things. And the witness was there. So many opportunities. So many witnesses. So many privileges. And yet time and time again, his actions are those of sin. Herod ignores. He rebels. He murders. He commits adultery. He's proud. He's filled with hatred. What a list is growing in relation to Herod. Men and women, as you listen to this account of Herod, you may think to yourself as you looked at that and listened to that list and you assess the gravity, the size of it, you may think, what a wicked, what an evil man. You'd be right. But let me ask the question this morning. How many of those sins listed can be attributed to you? Many times, sinner, have you heard the gospel? Many times have you heard of your need of salvation? Many times have you heard of the love and the power and the mercy, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Many times have you ignored it? Many times have you heard that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures? That he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, and he's alive forevermore. The sins within your life, oh, they may not be murder or adultery. But friend, your sins, regardless of what they are, how many they are enough to take you to hell. One other reason I'd like to highlight to you in relation to why God was silent in Herod's view. Verse 8 of Luke 23 tells us, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. He hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Verse 8, it tells us Herod's so happy. Whenever the Lord is brought into his presence, whenever the Lord is sent to him by Pilate, he is there and he's so happy, he's so glad as the Lord Jesus Christ has marched in before him. And as the Lord is standing there, he's so happy, he's like, yes, I get to see a miracle done. This man before me is going to do something wonderful. We'll bring in someone sick, or we'll bring in someone lame, and I'll watch as the Lord brings him to his feet. You see, the reality is, Herod didn't see Christ as Lord. To him, the Son of God was an entertainer, a magician, a court jester. One who had gifts and talents to perform acts, to entertain, to enthrall the people. You know, there are those that come to church for entertainment. There are those that will look for a church where they will have fun and laughter, light-hearted merriment. They don't want preaching. They don't want teaching. They don't want to hear about their sins. They just want to go somewhere where they'll feel good and they'll leave happy and smiling, and they'll just be on a high, as it were, from being in this place, and they'll call it a church. You see, church is entertainment. And as an entertainment center, then God will be silent. Yes, we come to the house of the Lord to worship. It ought to be the place of joy. It ought to be a place of thanksgiving, of praise. There ought to be gladness upon our faces. But it's not to be the case where we're coming for a merriment and for an experience, as it were. As an entertainment center that we can have our thrills and go home again. That's what Herod was seeking. Verse 9, it tells us that Herod asked him many questions. It says, then he questioned him in many words. Question after question after question came out of Herod. He liked the sound of his own voice. But not one of his questions is recorded. Not one question is deemed suitable to be put in the canon of Scripture. Why? Because every question was pathetic. Every question was filled with stupidity. You know, there are people today and they'll seek to mock. They'll ask questions in stupidity about the Scriptures and about the Gospel, seeking to belittle the Lord, seeking to belittle the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and they'll ask a question in mockery. This is what Herod's doing. As if he opens his mouth and it's just dribble, waffle coming out of his mouth. Question after question after question, and the Lord just stands and he just looks at him and he says nothing. There's not one question about any spiritual matter. There's not one question comes out of Herod that has anything to do with salvation. There's not one question comes out of Herod that would indicate a concern for his own soul. You know, Acts 16 in the verse 30. That question made it into Scripture. Paul and Silas are in prison and the earthquake takes place. They hear the rattle of the sword as the guard's about to pierce himself through. And Paul shouts out, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And the guard, he's shaking and trembling, he calls for the light. He comes in and he falls upon his knees. And 16 in the verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That question makes it to Scripture. But not one of Herod's. C.H. Spurgeon writing in his past, I am glad that these questions are not recorded. Fools can ask more questions in 10 minutes than wise men ask in 50 years. You know, Christ has always promised, any man comes to him in faith, he'll in no wise cast out. John 6 and verse 37. Matthew 7 and verse 7, what does it say? Ask. It shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Herod never asked or sought the Lord. He never came in faith, believing that Christ was the eternal Son of God. Never came in repentance of sins. He never came to worship. Rather, he comes on his own terms, with his own words and his own way. All these reasons that we've looked at, both the history, the life of Herod up to this point, and indeed this trial of Christ before Herod, all of it just adds to one thing. Genesis 6 and verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Every opportunity Herod had throughout his life, all of those years, all of the eyewitnesses, all of the opportunities, and even as it lay before him, it's just the mind, the mouth running away with him. God's completely silent. See, friend, today the reality is this. You fly in the face of God. You reject the free offer of the gospel. Maybe you think you're above it. You're wiser than Christ. Maybe you think today that you don't need the gospel. You don't need salvation that's offered in Jesus. You live your lives in willful disobedience. Contempt of God. reality is this, the Spirit will not always strive. There will come a time when the Lord says, no more. No more will your conscience be pricked. No more will you feel that even burning within you, that cry within. No longer will you feel even a desire to come and to hear the gospel. No longer will you feel that your sins are going to take you to hell. There won't even be any thoughts towards salvation. The Spirit will just stop. And you're lost. God will be silent. The reasons for the silence. And then secondly and finally, I want you to see the results of the silence. The results. You know, it's evident when we consider results that some of them are immediate, permanent. Firstly, there is the withdrawing of opportunity. The time of salvation is past. The striving of the Holy Spirit has ceased. No longer will the conscience of Herod ever be pricked. Secondly, there's a withdrawal of grace. Look at the verse 11. It tells us Herod and his men of war, they set Christ at naught. They mocked him. They treated the Savior with such contempt as if he's some kind of fool. That's how they treated him. It says there that they set the Lord at naught. They treated him as if he was a fool. They took the Son of God and they mocked him. They ridiculed him. They acted and they treated him and they belittled him as if he was nothing. That grace that had been extended to that point now taken away. Even the grace, the understanding, the discernment. See, Herod didn't condemn Christ. He didn't release him either. The ability to see Jesus for who he truly was gone. The ability, even you think of those times over the years, as Herod had listened to John the Baptist, as Herod had listened to the reports that were coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything, and that desire even in Herod, I want to see him. It's gone. Now Herod's looking at him. And he just says he's nothing. He sets him at naught. The ability to see Christ for who he truly was is taken away. Let me pause and say, sinner, if the ability for you to see Christ hanging upon the cross is taken away, then you're lost. Understand that. The ability for you to understand and to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon that middle tree, if that is taken away, you're lost forever. Because there's life for a look at the crucified one. Sinner, let me say, don't reject or ignore the Lord. Don't belittle Christ or his gospel. Rather accept him. While the Lord is striving, while the Lord is working even in you, and while you have the opportunity and you're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the offer of salvation, which is full and free as it's being given, don't walk away. Take him. Take Christ as your own and personal Savior. Then thirdly, there is another result of the silence. The presence of God is withdrawn. Herod had enjoyed the presence of God being brought to him by John the Baptist. Each time that John was brought in before Herod, Herod was looking upon a child of God. And through the life of John the Baptist, Herod was able to see Christ. And Herod had enjoyed the presence of God through Chusa. As that man had faithfully came and he saw a man devoted to the Lord. speaking of the Lord. I had the greatest privilege of all, being in that actual presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet he set the Lord at naught, and the Lord departed. Due to Herod's actions, decisions, Christ went from his presence. He never returned. He's lost forever. No hope. No possibility or opportunity of salvation. Men, women, boys and girls outside of Christ today, don't ignore him. Don't bring him down to what you think he is or should be. That's a great reality even in our land and nation today. There are many who make God and make the Lord into what they expect him and think he should be. You hear ones that will say, when I get to heaven, I'll give the Lord a piece of my mind. And I'll tell him where he's went wrong. They're making him out as if the Lord Jesus makes mistakes. As if he's not all-knowing and all-powerful. Men will say, the Lord is there, I'll take him when I want. I'll get saved when I want. There are those that will say, I want to enjoy my life, but when I'm on my deathbed, then I'll get saved. As if it's up to us. As if we can just call on the Lord whenever we say. But yet, what does it say? Genesis 6:3, my spirit will not always strive. There's a stopping point. See, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ today in repentance and faith, believing that he's able to save you and to keep you. Believing that you come into the Lord, all of the sins will be dealt with, your sins forgiven, peace with God. As Isaiah 1 and verse 18, it says, come now. Not come later, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. But you must come. See, Herod, he didn't come. Those years of opportunity, he never once left his palace of comfort to go to where the Lord was. And even that time when the Lord is brought before him, yet look at how he treated him. Now there are those people today and they'll say, oh, for me to get saved, I need bright light. Need to be a big bang or something that really just speaks to me and tells me there's definitely a God and he wants me. But yet here was the Lord Jesus Christ, the beautiful, perfect Son of God, and he came right into Herod. And he stood right before him. And yet Herod never came. You live your lives in sin. You enjoy the pleasures of this world. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're lost forever. That question which Pilate asked, what shall I do with Jesus that is called Christ? Herod's answer was, I'll mock him. And I'll disgrace him. God's answer was silence. Herod will hear the voice of God one more time. He'll say, depart. It'll be the only words that Herod will ever hear the Lord actually say to him. My friend, if the Lord is speaking to you today, he's saying to you, come to me. Don't live your life in sin. Stop putting it off for another season. Come to me now. Listen to that voice. Heed the invitation. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you. Oh, he's standing ready and able and willing to take your sins and to bear them upon the cross. But you must come. Will you come today? Young person, older person, maybe you've been putting it off and putting it off. Don't put it off another day. Come. Come to Jesus.